It's time for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Good Monday morning. We've got Masters history. We've got tanking history. Maybe it paid off, and the Tigers are off to a good recruiting start. We're going to touch on everything. We got medals here in a second. TJ Reeves returns. He'll be joining us on Mondays now at 10:10. Mike DeCourcy at 10:28. Doesn't get better than that back-to-back. Oh, and then we end our day with Ted Butler on the Masters and a whole lot more. So we welcome you in, Dave Woloshin, along with our producer extraordinaire, Landon Schmidt. And so let's get right to it, because we don't have a whole lot of time to mess around. It's time for medals. Pretty easy. Gold. I like my silver. My bronze goes to Ron Akan-Knupel and LaMelo Ball. They're the new Splash Brothers. They had combined 270-plus threes made this year. The last duo to do that, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, they did it multiple times. Will this duo do it multiple times? Stay tuned. Silver medal, Penny Hardaway and Fred Smith. The four-star, who's got a big upside, he could even grow more. His game will grow. He's a great passer. He's a good inside scorer. Can he shoot from the outside? He'll have to develop that part of his game. But a four-star guy committed to Penny. Penny went the high school route with these two. I know there's a couple of sophomores that everybody in the country is drooling at that reside at Bartlett that are awfully, awfully good. So maybe this is the beginning of another pipeline. If the kid stays home, see, here's part of the deal. So many of the great Memphis area athletes have been going to prep schools elsewhere. They go, hard to get them to stay. They stay, you got a better shot. Fred Smith and Solo stayed, and guess who's coming to Memphis? So that's important. Penny and Fred Smith get silver medals, and the gold goes to Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy is only the fourth golfer in history to repeat at Augusta. You got to go back to Jack Nicklaus, then Sir Nick Faldo, then Tiger, and now, I think 25 years later, it's Rory. And both times, Rory struggled to win, but now he's got two. He's got six majors. That, I believe, is tied with Faldo for the most by any European player. Is he a top 10 guy? I just Googled who the top 10 guys were. Okay? Jack, Tiger, Hogan, Snead, Arnie, Gary Player, Seve, Bobby Jones, Phil, and Faldo. Would you move him ahead of any of those? That will be the question that we might ask Ted Butler. That comes your way at the end of the program. But you think about it, six majors. I want to say that might have been his 30th overall win. I know he's in the 20s. I thought it might be 29. This might be 30. I mean, he's making a case for being top 10 all time.
Yeah, I'm with you. Right off the bat, I would say yes. I would put him there. But just real quickly.
Well, wait. When you make that statement, who are you knocking out?
I'd have to look at the list extensively, but I don't know. I would just put Rory in. I don't know who I'd be knocking out. But
well, you got to knock out one if you put Rory in.
It's not those top five guys, I'll tell you that much. It would have to be 6 through 10 I'd have to take a closer look at, but I don't know. I do not know. But real quickly, my bronze medal. Yes, it is sports related, but it's kind of a little bit different. Are you familiar with Chris Ullman?
No.
Chris Ullman, before an Orioles game last week, whistled the entire national anthem to kickstart the game. It was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen, and what better fitting than at an Orioles game, literally the mascot being a bird. It was incredible to witness.
I've got to hear it. I'll have to YouTube it.
Yes, it was incredible. I mean, the dude was going up and down. It was incredible to behold. So giving a bronze medal and giving a big shout-out to him right off the bat. Silver medal, you mentioned Konkanepo and LaMelo Ball, so I'll go in a different direction. NBA players this season with 13-plus points, 14-plus assists, and 10-plus turnovers in a single game has a two-player list. Nikola Jokic, no surprise there, and Jamai Meshack for the Grizzlies. When they went to the tank-off game of all time with the Grizzlies and the Jazz. Some interesting company to be in for this season, as he's one of the only two.
Well, the 10 turnovers you don't want.
No.
And I'll tell you what, Jokic doesn't normally do that, but he did it twice against the Grizz. He had 9 the game before that he had 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, really interesting showing there. I'm also going to give a silver medal. He made a great comeback, didn't complete the comeback, but Scottie Scheffler becoming the first person in the last 84 years to go bogey-free on the final 36 holes in the final round of the Masters since 1942, incredible.
It's been his theme all year. He plays lousy on Thursday or Friday, and then he has great weekends.
He just turns it around does incredible. So silver medal for me, and of course, how could your gold go to anybody else than Rory, who led the entire tournament, which was incredible.
Like you say, he's encroaching on top 10 world.
Yes.
My Ross goes to the shameful Memphis Grizzlies, who tanked so badly the last two games. You mentioned the Utah game. They played 6 guys in the Utah game. They only played 7 yesterday in losing to Houston. So that tank gets them the 6th best odds in the lottery. So maybe it pays off. We'll have to wait and see. They lost their last 8 games. They missed the postseason for the second time in 3 years. They were shameful the way they tanked. They played players that don't belong on NBA rosters. They never got a big. I hope it pays off, but what a terrible lesson for the NBA.
Yeah, it was actually an NBA record this year that they started 25 different players, which has never been done. It should never be done. My rust, I'm going to give to Columbus Aviators, giving you some UFL rusts over here.
Wow.
Columbus Aviators head coach Ted Ginn Jr. was arrested in Texas before their game for a DUI. So he was out, and Todd Haley had to step in, and the Aviators.
Memphis is Todd Haley.
Yeah, and they actually had a pretty good showing against the top team in the UFL, against the Dallas Renegades, but still.
Wow.
Really, really crazy stuff there.
Wow, crazy for sure. As we sit in the Family Leisure Studios, we remind you the floor model sale's still going on. I got a feeling we got a new sale coming. I know chemicals are going to be deeply discounted this coming month, so if you've got the chance, go. They'll probably give you a big break on any of the in-stock swim spas, cold plunges, even any hot tubs. Still on sale if it's a floor model as they move the new spring stuff in. It looks gorgeous there. And again, you're going to have a chlorine sale coming soon at Family Leisure. We bring back into the fold one of our greats. We love chatting with TJ Reeves. He's been off on assignment for a while now, but TJ is back into the fold, and as soon as we get a hold of him here, I'm going to start with the question that I will ask Ted Butler later as well. If indeed Rory McIlroy is a top 10 guy, Paul McGinley, I think after he had a 36-hole lead of 6 strokes, called him one of the 5 greatest of all time, but I'm willing to actually consider top 10 all time. TJ Reeves, good morning. We'll get into the Masters, but is Rory now one of the top 10 guys of all time with 6 majors?
Has to be. Good morning. Great to be back with you. Has to be.
All right. So I just randomly Googled top 10 golfers. Here's what I got.
Okay.
Tiger, Arnie Hogan, Snead, Player, Seve, Bobby Jones, Phil, Sir Nick. which I believe Sir Nick's got six majors. So
correct.
Rory's now tied him for the most of any European guy.
Phil has six also, I believe. And by the way, how many of those?
I think Phil has
five. Phil has five. How many have the career Grand Slam, which he now has?
Yeah.
And he's got a very realistic chance, probably, of doing a second lap with all the majors. You never say never.
Well, that's true. I agree with that. My question for you is, if indeed he's top 10, I'm not arguing that, he might be. Who do you knock out?
Out of that, do you go back in time and say not Sam Snead? Do you go back in time? Tough to knock out. I don't know. I mean, again, he's won all of the biggest events. So do you knock out Seve, for example, who did not win the Master? Or did Seve win it once?
Oh, you're right. Phil's got six.
Phil's got six. And Phil's got, you know, obviously the accomplishment of being the oldest major winner ever.
He never won
three green jackets.
And he never won the U.S. Open. He does
never won the U.S.
The
Open
career.
For the career Grand Slam.
Yeah.
It's a great debate. This is what these debates are all about. And by the way, Faldo has six, but it's three British Opens or Open Championships and three Masters. Never won the U.S. Open, never won the PGA Championship. Won a ton in Europe and is known for all of his Ryder Cup success. And do we not factor in Rory's Ryder Cup success as well in the modern?
You could.
So
I think that would be a modern factor. I think you should put that in.
He has got to be top 10. There is no doubt. And to have climbed the Augusta Mountain and you're back-to-back on the list with Jack, Faldo, and Woods, that's like a Volotion-type list to be on, to be on that kind of list. Yeah. I mean, that says a lot on who was able to do this twice in a row. So kudos to him. Kudos to him on being able to. It's all time stuff.
He struggled in both of his green jackets, but he prevailed. He was able to really be mentally tough and come back. He lost the lead. He had a 6-stroke lead at the midway point. Blew the lead yesterday. He was behind for a short period of time to come back. He still tried to choke it away on 18, but hit an amazing second shot, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
And
hit the great. Hey, he hit the Tiger-esque shot 21 years later on the side of the green on 16, because that was very close to being a mess and being a bogey there, and then he brings everybody at 11 under par, including Mr. Scheffler in the clubhouse. I kept thinking this is going to end at 11 under par, and Scheffler and multiple guys are going to be there with Rory in a playoff.
I never thought
that. What did you think? I really thought we were headed for that.
I did not think that. I thought that he would right the ship, and I thought he'd finish 14 under, to be honest with you, but he finished at 13 because He finished at 12. When that putt that he made on 16, so there's the difference. Tiger chipped that in. He putted it, which I found interesting. He putted a lot from off the green, and the pros are doing a little bit more of that these days. You saw Justin Rose lose his chances by mishitting a chip on 12.
Yes. And it was disappointing that the roars that we're so accustomed to and the big moments, they didn't really happen in the last hour of golf. We had a lot of people making stuff earlier in the day on the front nine, and the roars were going, and you're thinking, wow, this is going to be electric. And give McIlroy the credit. He got the lead, and he managed it and kept it, but nobody from Cam Young to Justin Rose to any of them at the end, Scheffler a little bit, but nobody had the roars going on 15, 16, birdie. How about nobody birdied the 17th hole the entire day yesterday?
Scotty did. I thought Scotty had it. And if he had, he'd have finished at 12. We might be in a playoff.
Correct.
Here's my question for you on that. Phil Mickelson was pretty vocal. Mickelson made the comment, or he tweeted out the comment, that Augusta, in their efforts to toughen the course, lengthened 13. I don't know how they did that. I had to buy more land, I guess, to do it.
The T-box, right, move it back.
Yeah,
correct.
So they lengthened 13 where the Eagles were really rare. I don't know how many there were for the week, but it was on one hand probably. And usually that's 10 or 12 that you're going to get, and on Sunday that becomes a major factor. And then on 15, they made the green so tough that it wasn't holding at all that's part of the reason you didn't get those roar. 13
Agreed.
And 15, would you like to see those back to being easier so that we get more drama on Sunday?
Well, they made 15 to one extent easier because they moved the flag up into the front where you had a lot of the, what do we know? You had a lot of the green accessible to put it on and to try to make an eagle putt. And there certainly were a couple of eagle chances, just nobody could make it. I mean, Rose had an eagle chance also on 13 and couldn't make it and three-putted and made par.
Oh, that was terrible.
But Mickelson's point was, on the tweet, nobody was going for the green in two.
Yeah.
Almost everybody was laying up on Thursday and Friday. And then they kind of changed it around. But still, the mystique of this, the conversation we're having right now, it's all part of the lore of that tournament in that event. We know those holes. We know the iconic moments. We're just spoiled. I did rewatch it, and for the audience here on the Mighty Sports 56, you can go look on YouTube and rewatch Jack Nicklaus 40 years ago and watch that charge. It's the full final round is there on YouTube. Even the highlight video is there on YouTube with the announcer calls. And we have to take into account those things don't happen that often, those kind of charges, and we live on the memories of what Nicklaus was able to do 40 years ago. It was incredible.
Speaking of which, I love those commercials that have the reenactment in the same clothes,
with the
same
kids.
Mannerisms with the little kids for Jack.
Whose parents probably weren't born when Jack did that. And now the little kids are there reenacting it.
Their parents were born. It was 86.
I don't know.
So Jack, and they had Bubba, and then they had Rory from last year.
Yes.
Yes,
and I love the little girl
definitely
with the plaid pants and the yellow shirt sticking the club in the air.
Great.
And the yes, sir, with Vern Lundquist. And
great.
Special time. Yes, that was a lot of fun to watch.
You were in Indy for Michigan, UConn, and Michigan is the champion. And I don't think it was really ever in doubt. They were the better team for sure. Pretty dominating. What did you think?
Amazing what they did to Arizona in the semifinal game, because Arizona had a phenomenal season and Michigan just tore them apart, especially in the first half. And then nobody could make a shot in the championship game for a while. Great drama at the end. Is UConn going to close this game like they did the Duke game? I just love this event, as do you, that the tournament never disappoints. It always delivers on drama and excitement. We didn't get last-second buzzer beater in Indianapolis, but the Big Ten had not won a basketball men's Final Four in 26 years, and finally Michigan got one. And they had not gotten one in 37 years, going back to Steve Fisher as the interim coach and Glenn Rice and Ramil Robinson. So it had been a long time. They easily, Wolo, 1 week ago tonight, had about 50,000 people in Lucas Oil Stadium because proximity they could get there. And I know you got the legend Mike DeCourcy coming up to tell you more about it, but tough to argue when you won 28 games by double figures like Michigan
Crazy.
Did that you're not the best team in college basketball.
Oh, yeah. And the Big Ten. Now they own the football championship, the women's basketball championship, the men's basketball championship, and UCLA is number one in baseball. So there you go. Last thing, NFL draft coming up here soon in Pittsburgh. Mendoza's won, right? Who are the top five?
It's interesting because Mendoza is one. Ty Simpson, the Alabama quarterback, is the other quarterback that probably gets taken maybe in the top 10, certainly in the first round. But there's maybe not another quarterback that goes in the first round this go round. And it could be some defensive players, including Bain, the Miami defensive lineman. You've got your assortment of receivers, running backs, not so much anymore that get taken in the first round, if at all, in the first couple of rounds. So this will be interesting with the Raiders up high in the draft, and it's expected to be Mendoza. And he's not even going to be there, if you didn't know that. He's going to stay in Miami with his family, so that's wild.
I think that's wonderful for him. They'll probably have a camera there. I would suspect there'll be a camera at the Mendoza
For the record, Jameis Winston got picked number one by the Buccaneers and was with his family in Alabama. He was not at the draft that night, and Mariota, the second pick, was not there either. He was with his family in Hawaii. The first two picks in the draft weren't on the stage that year in the draft, so it's not unheard of, but it is interesting that he's not there mugging with the commissioner and with the Raiders. So stay tuned. Lots to still go over with the draft, and I know you got Mike coming on to talk to Hoops. The Masters is phenomenal. Great time of the year, Wolo. Great to be back with you.
No doubt about it. Thank you, my friend. As always, it's great to have you back in this slot. We'll be talking a whole bunch every week.
Thank you, Wolo.
That's our man from Tampa. That is T.J. Reeves. He's brought to you by Southern Security. Oh, yeah. If you're a brand new, maybe first-time home buyer, single mom, maybe you're a small business owner, Southern Security is the perfect trusted financial partner for you. Let's start with 75 years that this not-for-profit, they can do things banks can't, has been around. They've been serving the Mid-South for that long with the best rates, the best service, the newest in technology. Go look at their brand-new bank in Collierville. It'll blow you away. They've been voted the best credit union in the Mid-South for the last 6 years. Easy to join. Just go to the website, southernsecurity.org, or you can call and talk to a human being at 901-452-7900. Southern Security, your home team credit union, federally insured by NCUA. Hey, we take the break. When we come back, we head to Pittsburgh, and our good friend Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News is right around the corner.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Right, we're headed to Pittsburgh momentarily. Mike DeCourcy standing by to put a bow on the Final Four and a whole lot more. He's brought to you by Memphis Tourism and the Memphis Sports Council. Every year, thousands visit Memphis and Shelby County, not just for music or to sample our great food, but to take in a sporting event or tournament. If your school or team or league is exploring the possibility of hosting a sporting event in our community, then you got to get in touch with Memphis Tourism and the Memphis Sports Council. They'll help you through the entire process. They can provide valuable destination insight and helpful planning strategies for a winning event. They are there to help you. That's the Memphis Sports Council and Memphis Tourism. They bring you Mike DeCourcy every week. Before we put a bow on the Final Four, your thoughts on another really exciting Masters tournament. I know you watched. Good morning.
Actually, I didn't watch.
What?
The Masters.
What?
I did not.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I guess you're not the biggest golf guy, are you? I forgot about that.
That's okay. I do miss playing with you when we're able to, but I did not watch the Masters. But I definitely I did, since I was sitting there right there next to Pat Forty and a couple of seats down from the CBS crew. I definitely did watch the Final Four, and it was fascinating, I think, to see how Michigan was able to build what they did. The really interesting thing to me was Yaxel Lendeborg, who had been really the essential component of their success this year. They had a lot of terrific players, but Lendeborg was, and you guys saw him at UAB, but he became a completely different player at Michigan.
Definitely. He was not that guy for Andy Kennedy at UAB. They played him as a post player.
Right.
Although he did step out and shoot threes, but he was not nearly as effective. In fact, the Memphis big Dane Danger just absolutely had his way with him in all three meetings that the Tigers and the Blazers had last year.
Right. And so they made him into a small forward, and he became the most important component of their championship. But the actual last two games, he got hurt, and he was hurt pretty badly. He stepped on an opponent's foot while he was attempting a drive from the top of the key, and when that happened, he injured his ankle and his knee at the same time because he got airborne. He fell wrong. So there was a bone bruise. There was an ankle twist. There was a little bit of damage done to his, some sort of strain to his, to the LCL of his knee, I believe. And so there was a lot going on, and he was not nearly that player in the second half of their semi. That didn't matter as much because they were already well ahead and well in control of that Arizona game. And then to be able to go out and beat UConn with him limited was a very impressive performance.
I am impressed with Dusty May. He's the guy that saw that in Yaxel Lindenberg. And I know people talk about the beauty of the NCAA tournament is the fact that it is one and done. If you played a series like the NBA does, maybe you get a truer champion. I think in the case of Michigan, what they did to Arizona, and in fact, I think TJ Reeves told us this stat the other day, that I hadn't realized. They beat 28 teams on their schedule this year by double digits. They were just the best team. There's no denying that in all of college basketball this year.
Yeah, Arizona had their chance, but they came in. I was disappointed, honestly, in Arizona's approach to the game because I thought that if you are at that level and you are looking at what Michigan had put down on tape, and you look at the Duke game, which was played not late in the season, I mean, mid-February, and Duke goes out and grinds them into a half-court game. And, yeah, they were a little bit daunted by the size that you'd have to confront against Michigan. But it's not that great if you can't get the ball from here to there. And Michigan really got stranded on the perimeter. They had no great answer for Duke's defense. And then you saw Tennessee come up against Michigan in the Elite Eight.
Wallop.
And Tennessee wants to play a half-court game. They want to play a defense-first game, and they're pretty big, too. I mean, they're maybe not Michigan big, but they're pretty big. They just got overrun. And I thought, well, surely Arizona's going to come into this game with a different approach and emphasize the fact that Braden Burries is probably the best guard on the floor, and Jaden Bradley is a better in-command type point guard than Elliot Cadeau, and if you get it to a half-court game, you got a great chance. And instead, they decided to just play, to go at Michigan, to play quickly. And I knew within 6 or 7 minutes that game was over. It reminded me a lot of the Baylor-Gonzaga game in the 2021 tournament in the bubble. And when Gonzaga just had no answer for Baylor's overpowering defense, this was a little bit different components, but it was the same concept. If you're going to try to play that way, you can't win. You can't beat Michigan playing a full-speed game. There's nobody in college basketball that could do that, and Arizona, unfortunately for them, found that out.
Well, I thought, I hate to say it, but it was almost anticlimactic. I was really looking forward to the Final Four. I thought, you know, the championship game was really going to be Michigan and Arizona. I thought those were the two best teams, and I thought Arizona was the better team. And that game really wasn't at all close. And then neither was the UConn-Illinois game, and I really thought Illinois might slip by UConn. I mean, they were obviously the big surprise here. The way they beat Duke, they probably shouldn't have even been there, but I thought they dominated that game with the Illini.
Yeah, I thought that Illinois' mistake was to, in their case, their one issue all year was that they had a lot of options, and maybe too many options almost. You didn't think that was possible in basketball, right? But when you have a lot of options, then if somebody takes away your preferred option, you don't necessarily have to work that hard to get to it. And UConn decided there were two players they were not going to let shoot open three. Jake Davis, the player with the long hair who starts, and then Ben Hammerkaus, who comes off the bench. And whatever UConn had them in the game, they did not help off them and under any circumstance. And so what that meant was Illinois would run action on one side of the floor and then hoping to get the ball to an open shooter at the top of the key, and then all of a sudden you get that extra pass. The extra pass was never there. And so the player who had the ball to make the extra pass wound up shooting it, often Tomislav Ivicic, And that was exactly what UConn wanted. They wanted, okay, second, third, fourth option, yeah, we're good with that. First option, no, we don't want that. And so that's that ended up playing into a problem for Illinois. And the other problem for Illinois was the officiating. It wasn't uneven, but UConn took the approach that they were going to take Keaton Wagler and make it as physical a game as possible for him. He's a very thin player, very lean player, still got a lot of maturing to do physically. And so they just pounded on him. And yeah, there were a lot of fouls called against the two guards because those guys both wound up in foul trouble. One of them wound up fouling out of the game, but there was even more physicality than was called. And so that really, Wagler still had a fine game relative to production, but he didn't have a great game relative to efficiency, and that hurt Illinois as well.
Speaking of the freshmen, Wagler, Flemings from Houston, obviously Boozer, Duke, Acuff, Arkansas, Peterson, Debonsa.
Yeah, right.
If you can think of any other freshman you want to throw in, Caleb Wilson, all those guys, this is such a deep draft. Who, yeah, in your mind, forget position, who in your mind is a lock to become a great NBA player? Maybe more than one, but who is in your mind, if you had the pick, who would you take?
I would want A.J. Debonsa. I think he's going to be a great player. He is very team-oriented, very unselfish, can do everything. If he wants to be a great defender, he'll be a great defender. If his team wants him to score, he'll score. If they want him to facilitate, he'll do that. He has everything. 6'9", strong, loves ball. I mean, I don't know many of the best prospects of the last 10, 12 years or so that played 3 out of 4 years of USA basketball. I think he was 16, 17s, and 19s, I think he played. And that's not, most of them will play once or twice. He played 3 out of 4 years. And it's just pretty rare. I mean, I don't know exactly what the decisions were made, but the Boozers were not there for the 19s last year. AJ was. And then AJ went through the year that Darren Peterson didn't play with the 19s last year either. And then you get through the year, and whereas Darren Peterson had all those issues, with his health, AJ never did. I absolutely would want him. If I'm the Grizzlies, if I'm the Pacers, whoever gets that pick, that's the guy I'd want.
The biggest high-profile job in North Carolina was filled. It was filled by Mike Malone, former Denver Nuggets coach who won an NBA title with Denver. You surprised they went NBA? What's your sense of that decision?
I was, because I think it's still an experimental concept, the NBA coach as college coach. We don't have enough time in this environment to know what the outcome will be. If you go back over history and you look at guys like Dunleavy at Tulane or Bob Hill at Fordham, and then of course some of the guys who were assistant coaches who became head coaches who were great, who also happened to be great players like Patrick Ewing or Juwan Howard. This is the track record of Clyde Drexler. Let's not forget that one, right, Dave?
Right.
The track record is really poor, and very like Fred Hoiberg, one of the rare success stories coming in that direction, but from the current circumstance, Kevin Young at BYU, nice first year, okay second year. Luke Laux, first year at Florida State, didn't do so great at the start of the year. Finished pretty well and really pushed Duke in the ACC tournament. But we don't have much beyond that. The head coach at Iona, they fired a tremendous mid-major coach, Tobin Anderson, who was responsible for the FDU victory over Purdue in the 1-16 game. They got rid of him to bring in an NBA guy. They went from 12 Metro Atlantic Conference victories to 10. So they went backward when they made their move. Again, so we don't, I mean, the track record isn't like blazing, but it's also not that much data. So I don't know whether Michael Malone and that concept works. And yet they did it at one of the most prestigious jobs in America. you can say, hey, he won an NBA title, and okay, all right, he did. But the job that it did kind of make me laugh, though, because when I said, look, you're not getting Tommy Lloyd, I got reamed by Carolina fans. I mean, they couldn't believe that I would dare say that the coach from Arizona is not coming to Carolina. And then within 24 hours of me writing that, they announced the extension for Lloyd out at Arizona.
You proved to be right. I guess I'm a little surprised that they decided to finally go outside the family. And there's no connection with Malone in North Carolina, is there?
No, but the family thing was it was dry. I mean, there was nowhere to go.
Right.
You'd hire like Wes Miller. Okay, like Wes didn't get it done at Cincinnati and got let go. So they kind of hired him in the family because he's at UNC Charlotte. Yeah. That's not the same thing.
No, true. They could have gone back to Larry Brown. He's available.
Yeah, I guess he is. And if Larry's as good as it comes, so.
Oh, yeah.
If Larry still has his fastball, I wouldn't have hesitated to do that. He's amazing.
He really is. I got to ask you about the portal. It's open. It opened on Tuesday. It'll be open for another 8 days. The thing is, it's open, so you can go into the portal. You can go out at any time, but that goes on until next year. So, do we have any portal coming out signings that you find of interest so far?
Well, Flory Badunga going from Kansas to Louisville was really interesting, I thought. Bill has a great track record with big players in his time at Kansas, going all the way back to the early 2000s. I mean, he's coached a lot of successful big men, guys who've been in the pros. The Morris twins would be an example of that. And Badunga just decided, let's go get more money. And I don't know exactly what Kansas would have offered him, but he got a really significant check from Louisville. Now, Pat Kelsey is a terrific coach. He doesn't have as long a track record with big players as Bill does. He's only been at the high major level for this will be his third year coming up, I think. He was at Winthrop. He was at College of Charleston, so you don't get as much opportunity to work with elite big players. So he may do fine with him, but I was surprised that you would leave a situation like Kansas in order to go to play for someone who has less experience of making players like you better. I guess that's the current model, but I'm surprised that Kansas would get outbid. I don't know what Kansas offered him to stay, or what you see. I never 100% believe what I see reported as the numbers now, because there's no official documents that need to be filed. There's no salary cap. There's no Players Association releasing those figures. So I never fully believe them, but I'm sure he got very well compensated to go to Louisville, and I expect he'll have a great experience there. The fans there are great. They love basketball in Louisville.
Oh, yeah.
But there's not many places that are any better to play than Kansas, so I was a little surprised he'd leave.
Memphis will face them in Memphis. Louisville comes next year with
nice.
That big guy, so that'll be fun. Well, maybe we'll get you to come to that game. All right, last thing, I think I figured it out, although I'm not 100% certain. I know you're going to be covering the World Cup for the Sporting News that comes up here. The women's national team was playing Japan in a friendly yesterday, actually won that game. Were you watching that instead of the Masters?
Well, actually, what I was watching was hockey, believe it or not.
Oh, my God. Oh, Pittsburgh and Washington. Crosby and Ovechkin.
Yes.
Ovechkin's coming back, don't you think? Come on. He wouldn't shake hands.
I tell you what, if he does after all that, that would be like me going and going back to the Sporting News and saying, I changed my mind. And then all those people who were so nice to me at the Final Four and all these nice tweets will all be mad at me for sticking around.
Well, he never said for sure he was gone, and
he scored
31
goals,
32 assists, that's 63 points. He's only 41. Howe played till he was 50. He's coming back, I promise you.
Well, it was pretty cool yesterday what they did, having It was even down to the center on the first line for the Caps purposely fouled the faceoff so that he could get kicked out of the circle and Ovechkin could take the faceoff against Crosby. That was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, that is very cool. We will talk more cool moments next Monday. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
That is Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. He's retiring from the Sporting News for basketball. He's going to continue to work for them covering the World Cup this summer. Then he's just going to be Big Ten and Fox Network. He's not retiring from his job with college basketball totally. He's brought to you in part by Memphis Landers Cadillac. You can't beat Landers Cadillac. I'm going to tell you that right now. So many great things, including the best pay for trades. They always pay top dollar for any kind of trade you can get. You can't beat Landers. You can't beat Landers Cadillac. And you can save more money with the Landers Easy Pass. Go to Landers@CadillacOfMemphis.com. Find out all about that. They've got all the great new models in. The showroom is so beautiful. You know it's been redone. Go check it out. Just go talk. Look around. You'll see they sell fast, so I'd get there quickly. And remember, if it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much. And this portion of the show brought to you by Memphis Public Links. What a great Sapphire Tour event they had there. I know all the folks at Pine Hill were going crazy, and you know they've been around 90 years. Everything's happening at Pine Hill now. More and more play, and they got this really cool scramble, alternate shot, aggregate score, triple header. It's 6 holes of each. It's 18 holes. But it's a new tournament format, and it is coming very closely, very soon, to Pine Hill. So I would go check that out. Go to the website and see more Memphis Public Links. We take the break. When we come back, more golf. It's Ted Butler on the Masters and more. He comes your way in just a minute.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255. Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
For only the fourth time in history, we've got a Masters repeat. First guy to do it was Jack. Then it was Sir Nick Faldo. Then Tiger. Of course, Tiger's in everything. And then there was Rory. He did it yesterday. Ted Butler, your thoughts on the 90th Masters. Good morning.
Good morning. My pick prevailed.
It did.
2 years in a row.
You picked them. You picked them both times?
Last year, too, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He might win them all, like Fred Couples said. He may win the rest of them.
Well, he could. The most is 5, correct?
Yes.
That's Tiger?
What, Masters?
Yes.
No, Jack's got 6.
Jack's got 6, Tiger's got 5. Okay.
Right.
Does Rory get to 5 or 6?
I don't think so.
He's 36. He's got time.
Yeah, I know he's going to get to 6. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But there's probably more, though. But, he was fortunate to win.
He was definitely fortunate. Both times he was fortunate to win.
Well, the thing that won the tournament was a shot he hit on 12. That little knockdown punch 9-iron. Everybody else was aiming way left.
Yep.
And he goes to the 10, makes a 2. And then from then on, like at 14, he hits a great drive. Terrible wedge. 15 is a terrible drive. The wedge should have backed up in the water on his third shot,
and
it didn't.
He got lucky.
Over the green on 16, had to make a miracle up and down. Hit his second shot with a wedge on 17, short, had to get up and down. Hit the worst drive on 18 anybody's ever seen, and somehow wins the tournament. One more hole and Scotty would have won it.
Oh, I know it. Scotty, I thought Scotty actually had put that putt in on 17.
Oh, how that stayed out, I have no idea.
Yeah, I guess it was Rory's turn to win back-to-back. All right, so Paul McGinley made this comment that he thought Rory was top 5 ever to play. I just Googled, randomly, top 10 players of golf all time. Here's the list, and I want you to tell me if Rory should be top 10. If so, who would you knock out? So let me give you the list.
Well, I can tell you already, no.
Okay. Jack,
go ahead.
Tiger, Hogan, Snead, Arnie, Gary Player, Seve, Bobby Jones, Phil Mickelson, Nick Faldo. Those are the 10 that came up, not necessarily in any particular order. I think we'd go Jack Tiger 1-2, and then you could start making your arguments.
No, he's not. He's not there yet. No.
So you would, I mean, still, you would not knock out anybody of these guys?
Not of them, no.
Okay.
No, I don't have a list in front of me. But I think Rory's probably top 15, but I don't think
I definitely think he's top 15. After this list of 10, I'm not sure who you would put in. You mentioned Byron Nelson, okay.
Yeah. I'm
not sure who else you would put in there.
Well, there's Walter Hagens. There's a whole bunch of, bunch of golfers.
Would you put
in?
In I'm trying to think of the heavy Colin the guy from London, big guy, great European Ryder Cup player.
No,
what's his name? Who am I thinking of? It's Colin something. Colin Montgomery? Is that it?
No. Yeah, Colin Montgomery.
Yeah.
He's not even close. He never won a major.
That's what I thought. I don't know. I think you got to put him 11, maybe 12 behind Byron Nelson. Nelson had that long streak. Here's the one thing you got to add to your list of qualifications, though. Don't you have to include the Ryder Cup now? And he's been a great Ryder Cup player.
Yes. 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 He's right up there. And he's still got plenty of time to go. He's got 10 more years of good golf.
Yeah.
He will be there for sure.
Scotty made an interesting point. On Thursday, he had to play a very tough afternoon course that was really hard, brittle, maybe playing the toughest that it did the entire week. Then on Friday, they watered and softened play. So his grouping in that afternoon, they got kind of robbed of an advantage over the Friday afternoon group. And he's the only guy that's ever gone the last 36 holes without a bogey. He played unbelievable on the weekend, but he struggled on the first 2 days. And this has been a thing with him this year, especially first rounds. Do you think he has a legitimate gripe?
As far as the times he played,
the fact that they set up the course they softened it for Friday, so that morning group on Thursday got the advantage of soft both rounds. His grouping in the afternoon on Thursday didn't get the advantage that they should have.
I don't think that's an issue. I think having a new baby 2 weeks ago more of an issue than that. Being a family man,
Yeah.
It's hard to play with kids, especially new kids.
It is.
But he played great the last 2 days. He played spectacular golf.
Oh, my gosh.
And
no bogeys. No bogeys.
No bogeys.
You know what killed him? He played poorly on the par fives the whole time, particularly the back nine.
13 and 15.
I think 15 yesterday was the first birdie he had on those two holes the whole week.
And that was a 25-footer uphill. He drove it in the woods, hit it out in the woods, chipped it. Shouldn't have made birdie there either.
Yeah.
But fun tournament.
How many more does he get? He's got two jackets.
No telling. He and Rory might just dominate from now on. But, there's guys like Cameron Young coming up. He's going to win one for sure. I'm not sure Rose will ever do it.
Oh, man, I felt bad for Rose because, this is where Rose lost this thing. He lost it on 12, where he had a bad chip. And then he's one of the few guys that had an eagle putt on 13, and he three-putted.
Right. It's hard to win the Masters. Let's put it that way.
Boy.
Things happen.
Yeah, they really do. The biggest bust could have been Bryson DeChambeau not making the cut.
Well, live golf. He and Rahm.
Look at Rahm. I know.
They're shooting 78, as good of players as they are.
Do you just think that's their whole lifestyle, or they don't practice as much because they've already made all their money? What do you think it is?
Well, I think the tournaments are nothing like the Masters. I mean, they play easier golf courses. They've got about five people you have to beat. There's music going on. It's nothing like playing in the Masters. I mean, you can't even come close to comparing it. And hardly, except for Patrick Reed, most of the live guys did nothing.
No.
Of course, he's not live anymore either. But
that's right.
The rest of them didn't.
Well, Hatton played pretty good. Hatton finished, and he's a live guy.
Yeah, one guy.
He's the one guy. And you wouldn't have thought he would be
no,
the guy.
No, I wouldn't have.
Akshay Batia, I was a little disappointed in him not making the cut.
Well, it's just such a hard. I played there twice myself, and it, you know, on TV, like the 18th hole, it looks like a ribbon.
I know.
It looks so narrow on TV, and it is that way. And the 14th hole, these tee shots and the greens are just they're so unbelievably difficult in the contours and speeds, and it's really a hard golf course. And until you actually stand there and look at it and stand on those greens and putt it, you can't believe how difficult it is.
The 16th hole makes for the most crazy putts ever, but it certainly is fun to watch. Sergio Garcia and Robert McIntyre both reprimanded for poor behavior. You shocked?
No, I'm not. They have a tendency for doing that. That doesn't matter.
I was shocked about Robert McIntyre, but man, he was so frustrated. And then, you know, you've come to expect the craziness from
Sergio
Garcia. Last guy, Russell Henley. I thought he would. Oh, and Sam Burns. Both those guys I thought might have a chance here. Burns being the great putter that he was, but neither of them could really get it going on Sunday.
Well, the back nine, right, for sure. I mean, Burns was a factor, but he was only in it because he had made so many putts so far. He played good, steady golf, but there was nothing miraculous in there. And Henley played good as well. I mean, these guys, you know, they're really good players.
Yeah.
But that thing gets heavier on the back nine.
All right, so Rory
hit no good shots coming down the stretch.
Three majors to go. Does Rory get another one? Does Scotty get one? Or are we going to see, like, Cam Young, who's already got the players this year? Could he win a major? Who's going to win the next three?
I will pick Cam Young to win one of them. I think he's really on the verge. He's such a good guy, good family guy. You know, the family travels with him. He doesn't have the stress of leaving him for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. He's a good guy and a great game. Yeah, I think he's going to win one.
There you go.
And probably Scotty, he's almost got to win one. And Rory might. You know, there's
never know.
Never know. It's why we watch it.
That's for sure, Ted Butler, and that's why we're going to talk again next Monday. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, Dave.
That is Ted Butler on golf, brought to you by another giant in his field. That's Sheldon Rosengarten, Mark Bensdorf. You got to have a strategy if you play Augusta. He's got the strategy for the real estate business. He's been around for 40 or 50 years. It's all the strategic marketing strategy that he's got that he works so well. Because if you got a strategy, you got a plan, right? But you got to work the plan. And he knows how to work that strategy. He's with you 24/7, 365. He's a poor golfer because he's always working for you. If you are ready to sell that home, if you're looking to buy a home, he always says, talk to two or three real estate brokers, but just make sure he's one of them. Once he tells you the strategy, you'll go crazy. Look and see what he's done at MemphisRelocate.com. You can get a hold of him there or call 483-0546. Get the job done. That's Sheldon at MemphisRelocate.com or 483-0546. That'll do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow morning, bright and early. Johnny Radio's next. Have a great day, everyone.